to Munch, a podcast and website where we pair meals like with movies. I'm Ben.
I'm Andre.
I'm Leanna.
You always kill all the momentum we build up.
Like, totally.
Not always. I had a good response last time. Not always.
Okay.
Anyways, we're here talking about Legally Blonde for none other than Leanna's birthday super munch post.
It's my birthday soon.
Man, we're going to have to pay the license rates for that song.
Yeah, that one song.
Yeah, Swedish House Mafia.
They're
going
to come after
us. They're
going
to come after us for that one.
So we just finished watching Legally Blonde, the Reese Witherspoon helmed film that came out in 2001 when we were all either 11 or 10 years old. And all these years later, we are now watching it again. Some of us for the first time, specifically me, this is my first time watching it.
Be Andre's second time.
It's my probably second time, yeah.
Okay. When was the first time you watched it?
I think when it came out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So both of you saw this when it came out?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't see it in theaters. I remember seeing it because the family that I carpooled with had a daughter who was a year younger. And she saw it with her mom, and they were both raving about how good it was and about how I specifically remember them talking about how it was a story about a girl who went to law school and showed everybody up and did it her own way. And like the thing that they latched onto was that she got a MacBook, but it was an orange MacBook and like stood out among all the other MacBooks. But like
she thought different.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. So I remember my mom and I being like, oh, we should watch it. And so it's always been a movie that my mom and I have enjoyed together.
Okay. That's cool.
Like Elf.
Nacho Libre
and mm-hmm. Napoleon Dynamite and Wayne's World and Night at the Roxbury and
Terminator 2. Okay.
Yeah.
I knew that was going to come in there somewhere.
Louise has her films and she mm-hmm. watches them over and over again.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Yes, that's another one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And My Cousin Vinny.
In Letters.
No, that's not one of them. No,
that's not one of them.
She likes that film, but the films we just named are ones that she's watched
with
many times.
Okay.
Like, more than I can count. And I've watched them with her, and we can both quote them.
And is that the reason why you chose this for Birthday Super Munch, or is there another reason? Because also, Moulin Rouge has been in your, I'm going to say, quote-unquote, queue for a long time.
It's true.
Like, you have been threatening us. And it's not really a threat, because the one time I saw it, I think they enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, it's got
with Moulin Rouge,
Ewan McGregor in it.
Yeah, I have more of a emotional tie to that film.
Mm.
And so I'm not sure I'm ready to
analyze it.
Yeah. Whereas
because
Legally
you were going to have to get into that emotional tie.
Exactly. Yeah. And with Legally Blonde, it's a film that I was borderline obsessed with when it came out. Like I was telling you guys earlier, I used to take dance classes when I was younger and we would go to competitions. And one of the signs that you were serious about dance was that you would have a individual routine.
Mm-hmm.
And I picked a song from the soundtrack of Legally Blonde because I own the soundtrack and I love the soundtrack.
You were ready.
And I was ready. And here's a fun fact that I did not tell you guys earlier.
Just dropping bombs on your podcast.
I think so.
When I must have been 13, so it would have been 2 years after the movie came out, which checks out because it was still a bit of a cultural icon.
Mm-hmm. People are still bending and snapping.
It has surprisingly stayed in the public consciousness.
Yeah.
For 16 years.
So I was in seventh grade and we had elections for student council
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to be president. And this is a point in my life where I had like decided to just like walk to the beat of my own drum and just kind of be myself and do whatever.
Nice. Good for you.
And I didn't know what to say in my speech. And my mom suggested that I do my individual routine.
Oh my God.
Just to like stand out.
Oh. That would make you stand out.
Did you do it?
I did do it.
How'd it go?
I thought I did not win. Like, for the record, I did not win. And the person who won, like, it was a total popularity contest. Like, I'm not surprised that she won. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But still, the number of people who came up to me.
Good for you.
Yeah. And, like, genuinely, I think these people said that was cool and, like, said good job to me, like, in a genuine way. Like, I want to believe that. I don't think that they were being rude.
I mean, you would know, depending on who it came from.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, you would know one way or the other.
And how it was delivered.
And for the next year, it wasn't like I was ostracized because I, like, chose to do something totally weird. So that was, like, one of the things where, to this day, I wish I could be as proudly individual and unique as I was in that moment.
Don't we all?
And
it
all goes back to this film. And
that's,
you know,
really
what?
Cool.
Yeah.
That's
I'm happy with that.
That's a lot more in-depth than I thought. Like, when I think back to me, like, picking Great Expectations or Beginners, like, I didn't have this long story about it. It's just like, I watched it in high school or something. But, like, it's really good. It's really good to hear that you had this story about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Really so this film has always been important to me in a way, but I also was willing to approach it with a more critical eye because it didn't have that same
of course,
emotional draw that, like, Moulin Rouge has, where
Are you afraid to look at Moulin Rouge with a critical eye?
I think so. I mean, honestly, I don't know there's not a specific moment or thing that I'm afraid of. It's just that
the idea of going back to that.
Yeah, and
the impact it has had in your life.
Also, in this age where more and more, I feel that, especially given recent news, I think it's been revealed that all of us probably have a problematic favorite.
Oh, for sure. I mean, all your faves are problematic. That's a long-standing trope.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that Moulin Rouge, there's nothing in it where I'm like, I know this part will be problematic, but there's other films, like Almost Famous is one that I've wanted to rewatch.
Yeah,
you mentioned that.
And I for sure know that was going to be a problematic fave. And so I've chosen to not rewatch it because I'd rather preserve the things I liked about it then revisit it and realize that it's
totally
actually fine. Really bad.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I mean, I think you can still preserve those. I mean, it's time and place and the impact on your life, and that's never going to change.
Yeah, but with Almost Famous, I'm pretty sure if I watch it again, I'm going to be like, oh, this is gross.
And really?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That one,
I've never seen Almost Famous.
That one, there's there's a much clearer moment where it's like, this is, we couldn't make this film today.
Yeah.
It would not.
Oh,
have,
interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
anyway.
Legally Blonde.
That's all to say. Mm.
We watched it. We made a meal for it. We drank for it. Leanna, do you want to quickly go over the meal we made for this film? Or at least the concept for it and what was the driving force?
The driving force is pink.
Pretty easily.
Yep.
The signature color.
The signature color.
And the singer.
Yeah.
And the singer. We listened to Pink while we
arguably too many Pink songs.
Yeah, you were not enjoying any of those Pink songs.
No, I liked like the first two, and then I was like, okay, now we're doing the deep cuts.
She has a style.
Babe, we didn't listen to any of the deep cuts. We listened to all of her top songs.
It was like the greatest hits that
and then
we ended,
have been around.
Because we ended on U, the letter U, plus UR, your hand.
She has that thing.
Yeah.
That's a weird.
And that's one of her top hits. Yeah. So, like, we listen to the top hits.
You know she's edgy when, like, she just uses letters in her song titles or, like, misspells, but has a very specific spelling of misunderstood.
But Pink has also, in recent years, been very outspoken about feminism and female empowerment.
Yeah, she's also gone more conservative in some aspects.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, I would not.
Oops.
There's a problem. No. Like, not as problematic as other faves, but
she's
like...
She's not really a fave, though. I was trying to, like, you know, say something nice about her, but...
Well,
I guess I should have done my research. We listened to Pink. We listened to some of the songs from the Legally Blonde soundtrack.
The, like, three that
it's
were on
It's very
Spotify.
Hard to find.
We listened to Frank Ocean's album, Blonde.
We did.
We listened to the group Legally Blind.
Mm-hmm.
We were
very
on
close.
A roll.
Just a couple letters off there.
A couple letters off.
And we cooked some really interesting Pink food, which I think everyone should take a look at.
Yeah, and a little deeper in that, you had kind of the concept of food that would also be appropriate for a law student. Like, they've grown up a little bit, but they're still kind of on a budget. And here's, like, quick options that represent their more experienced tastes, I will say, while still being quick and easy.
Exactly. Yeah.
Which is, I think that's a great idea.
Didn't feel out of place for this film.
Drinking rules.
Yeah, the drinking rules were pretty brutal. But
it was just drink constantly.
It was basically yeah.
Was how
yeah.
It was not great.
What do we have? Drink
don't follow
the dog.
Drink, like if,
yeah.
you if you haven't learned that lesson by now, do not follow our drinking rules.
Yeah,
we make
don't
them
make
before
them.
We test them.
Yes.
So,
and they're more like guidelines, anyways.
Yeah, yeah. But you drink whenever Bruiser, Elle's dog, is on screen. You drink whenever someone questions Elle's intelligence, which happens often.
Mm-hmm.
And you drink whenever someone uses a legal term.
Mm-hmm.
And that will you won't
That'll
be thirsty.
You
won't be
you.
Thirsty at the end.
Especially the dog rule. I think
He'll
that's the most dangerous rule.
But he's so
he's
good.
He's in every
he's
scene.
A great dog.
Yeah.
Like
dog.
He
and
is
he,
really,
he,
like, that was
like,
just a prop that they were like, ah,
yeah.
We gotta put him in this one, we gotta put him in this one, we gotta put him in this one.
Yeah. He's just like, every scene that he's in, he plays it really cool, but he steals the scene every time he's in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
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 And
it
costuming
felt,
went all out on his costume.
Yeah.
He
it
has
felt
some great
appropriate
sweaters.
To drink every time we saw the dog, because the dog always looked great.
Mm-hmm.
He was also, like, I'm going to be honest. Some chihuahuas, they can look a little...
I would say most.
Most chihuahuas.
I'm
going to
say most. I will...
Well,
you
got bitten by
edge.
A chihuahua. You've
yes,
got you've got a vengeance.
Yes.
Oh,
not a sorry, not a vengeance.
Yeah. I'm not out like...
A history.
Killing
chihuahuas.
Chihuahuas. Like, I'll let them live, but...
Yeah.
But yeah.
I will be wary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this... And to be clear, we all love dogs. We do love dogs. Dogs
especially that
are,
bulldog.
Especially, yes.
Yeah, that was a great dog.
But
chihuahuas
this
are
chihuahua
dogs.
In this film
I wouldn't get
was...
You're like borderline rat.
But the chihuahua in this film was particularly handsome.
It seemed
yeah.
smarter, too.
Yeah.
Which is not a quality I give to many chihuahuas.
No.
But he was on point in every scene, and I can appreciate that.
Rare occasion.
You know my grandpa calls chihuahuas?
Mm.
What?
Should we know this?
Barking rats.
That's a good one.
It actually
quality.
Is. They kind of look like rats. And they bark
they
a
do.
Lot.
They
do.
I mean...
They bark a lot.
Okay, well, I thought Bruiser was adorable. And if
we
you,
agree.
And
yeah.
if you want to watch Legally Blonde 2, I'll tell you what. Bruiser's mom is in it, and she's gorgeous.
Does anyone remember the
what?
Movie?
Wow. Yeah.
Bruiser had a mom?
Bruiser has
Bruiser's
a mom.
Bruiser's mom.
Is there like a
lot going on?
She's kind of the whole point
She's
of the film.
She's all I want and I've waited for so long.
Wait, okay. I'd love to hear what you think the role of Bruiser's mom is in Legally Blonde 2.
I have no idea.
Take a guess. Just guess.
I don't
is
know,
there
some
an extended
like...
paternity legal trial
That's
depending
what I
guess. On Bruiser?
Okay.
And...
It's a good guess. Okay.
That's basically what I had to.
No, you're both wrong.
Okay,
what
was it?
Well, as you know, at the end of this film, we
this
find
be,
out that...
Hold up. This would be a great intro if you had, like, actually recently watched Legally Blonde 2, and we could have this as an entry into your new podcast series, Leanna Watches the Sequel.
She's never done
this
it,
is a sequel
Leanna
I've
will
already
watch
seen,
the sequel.
So
yeah.
I don't...
Yeah.
This
it
one
doesn't,
doesn't
It doesn't play as well.
Also, I'm waiting for one of you to buy me some films. Anything I can download, I will watch.
Your birthday's
yeah.
coming up.
It's coming up.
Yeah.
I will buy you an iTunes gift card.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Then I'll do it.
We will get this part of
We'll
started.
Get it done, yeah. Anyway, what I was going to say was, in Legally Blonde 2, as you know, at the end of Legally Blonde, Elle is about to get engaged. And so at her wedding, she wants to have Bruiser's family. And so she tracks down Bruiser's mom. And that's, like, it's not as easy to get her as she would like.
I did not see that one coming.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So the crux of the
not
film
surprised
is about
by
Bruiser's
it,
mom.
It's Legally Blonde 2 good.
The crux of the film?
Yeah. It's,
is
about,
it?
It's about Bruiser's mom being
wow.
able to attend
yeah.
Elle's wedding.
Wow.
Is
yeah.
it good?
Wow. Wow.
I don't remember. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Is it a good movie?
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. Wow.
Wow.
Wow.
Is it a good film? Wow.
I haven't seen it in a really long time. I don't remember it being as good as Legally Blonde.
Like, how you're setting that up makes me think, like...
They wanted to extend the character.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
That's kind of a bummer.
It sounds
honestly,
like it, yeah.
Because, like, And this is going to be a great segue into the film itself, mm-hmm. but I felt like Legally Blonde was actually pretty good. There's yeah. some things I would hope that would change, but I think overall the idea around it is solid.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
And I felt like it had a lot of strong themes and kind of was a good moment of, like, she has a good realization of, like, hey, she shouldn't live her life for someone else. Like, she can actually do it herself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a great moment. I wish there was, like, just a little bit more, like, but yeah.
Yeah, it's a really, I wrote in my notes, actually, that this is a celebration of female friendships and dog moms. Like,
okay.
There's so many great...
And
yes.
fur, maybe. There's a lot of fake faux fur in this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's, like, specifically dog moms. Like, because, like, the female friendship, like, only goes so far in certain moments. Like,
well,
I never felt like
her
they developed
her,
the friendship between her and Vivian.
Oh,
no,
that's
that,
not what
that
it was about. It was
on.
Between her and Stifler's mom.
She has a name.
I don't know what it is. Do you?
Paulette.
You're looking it up. Yeah, Paulette. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, yes, I agree that the friendship with Vivian feels tacked on at the end, and it doesn't really develop as well as it
like
could.
They start to develop it, but then she drops her so quickly.
Yeah.
That it's both a surprise, and it's also, like, it's weird that Vivian would jump to the conclusion that it is because Jennifer Coolidge is her name, but... It's because Renice...
It's Paulette's name.
Yeah, sorry. But it's because... Oh my gosh, I'm just blanking right now.
Callahan?
No. I'm going to say Renee Witherspoon, but
Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah. Like, the fact that Vivian immediately jumps to the idea that Reese Witherspoon is sleeping with Victor Garber, and, like, that's the whole idea... feels a little forced.
Yeah.
Well, that's the only second of the conversation she caught. Although that is quite coincidental.
I agree, but I think
yeah.
there's a lot of other great female friendships in this film. Like,
yes.
throughout the whole film, we see man after man put Elle Woods down, tell her that she's not smart enough, like her dad does it, her, like, boyfriend Warner does it. Other men that she just meets on campus do it, and
yeah.
they all doubt her. And yet she meets all these women that empower her and tell her, like, so what? Like, just do it anyway. Or
yeah.
even her friends who are like, you want to go to law school? What? Okay, great. We'll help you study. We're going to coach
you. And also
you.
The idea that they are going to be there for her.
Even her counselor at school, when she walks in and is like, hey, I'm going to throw you a curveball and tell you I want to go to Harvard, and that's the only school I want to go to. She's,
and while she was surprised.
She was surprised,
yeah.
but she was like, okay, you're going to need a 179. You're going to need to have a killer essay. And she
yeah.
just tells her what's up, hands, like, the papers to her, smiles, and says,
yeah.
good luck. Like, she meets woman after woman who, and I know we all agree that we felt this relationship could have used more time, but one of Elle's first professors, whose name I'm forgetting now, but it's her only female professor.
It's such a quick interaction.
Yeah, she has a rough start with her in her first class.
Professor McGonagall type.
Professor McGonagall type. And at the end, when Elle is thinking about going back to L.A. and giving up on law school, she's the one who says, you're stronger than this. I know you can do it. Go back and go get him. Like, that to me... just all these women supporting Elle, that's awesome. Like,
yeah.
it was really...
Professor Stromwell.
Professor Stromwell. It was really great to be in a film where it wasn't a man who gave her the courage to do something or gave
mm-hmm.
her the power to do something, but it was all these women who bolstered her up.
Yeah.
So
while
that,
also still having a man being there supporting her and being like, hey, yes, you can do it.
Yeah.
But not the man's actions ultimately... pushing her.
Like
she was doing it on herself, but it, like, I think it's also important in a weird way to show that men can, like, it muddies it a little bit because they ultimately enter into a sexual relationship and mm-hmm. have, and then end up being married. Like, I love the idea of a platonic relationship.
Well, you don't know if they get married because you don't know if she got Bruiser's mom. So
you're right.
You're jumping to conclusions.
Yeah, you haven't seen.
Having only
Legally
seen
Blonde.
Blonde.
Legally Blonde.
And I'm going to say, like, Legally Blonde 2 is not
Red,
canon.
Red, White, and Blonde.
Not canon. And so I imagine they just get married. But, like, I love the idea of a platonic relationship between a man and a woman in which the man can support the woman, like, provide emotional support for the woman without needing anything in return and having there not be a transaction there.
But I do think it's important that they show him trying to convince Elle to forget that Callahan is a dirty creep. And
He ends up being the better character than Vivian, which I'm also still surprised that, like, Vivian, through all of her knowledge and reaching that point, like, doesn't realize the predatory nature of Victor Garber's character, or Callahan, in that moment. Like, I guess seeing the bit she saw, I wouldn't immediately think that, like, oh yeah, they're just having a great sexual relationship. Yeah. Like, he seems to be approaching it for the first time.
Yeah.
I don't know why they made that choice. It's really weird. But what I was going to say
was and then it's, like, never referenced again, the fact that they're not friends anymore.
Well, they eventually...
Her and Vivian.
They eventually become friends again through a text at the end.
What do you mean it's not referenced again?
That they're not friends.
But they are friends.
That her and Vivian aren't friends is not referenced after Vivian says, oh, never mind, I hate you.
Yes, it is.
When?
When they're talking to Brooke. They go back to talk to the client. Vivian makes a snide comment about Elle Callahan. And then Luke Wilson says, no, that's not what happened.
Okay, yeah, you're
but
right.
But there's no actually, like, emotional...
The whole thing, I agree. The whole, I think we can get past this. The whole thing with Vivian is, like, not handled very well.
And I think, ultimately, the whole thing with Callahan isn't handled as well as it should have been.
Yeah.
Especially, like, hey, we are in a moment in which the floodgates have opened and... sexual assault survivors are like having the bravery and the voice to be able to speak out.
Right.
And that is great. And that is powerful and moving. And it is unfortunate that at this point you never see Callahan, like, because it is perhaps unlikely that this is the first time Callahan has made this move. And that is,
it seems very serial the way he says, I'm a man who knows what I want.
Yeah. And he is someone in power in that situation, a professor for her as well.
It just seems like, I know I'm thinking about this in terms of the news that's come out recently, but it just sounds so similar to all the stories we've seen coming out of Hollywood, where men in power are bringing women into their offices or into private quarters and telling them that, like, this will be good for their career. Like, it is straight out of reality.
Like, it would have been, I feel like it would have been a decent statement to say that, like, hey, something actually happened to Callahan.
If they were going to do the text above the character's, like, under
Callahan.
Their Callahan, if they were going to do the text over the characters, they could have easily shown him, not even in the audience, but, like, somewhere else, and just been like, Callahan was fired from his law firm after blah, blah, blah. And, like, shown that there were consequences for his actions.
Yeah.
It would have
just
been
something.
It would have been so easy to,
like,
just.
That's a statement.
To just add that in. Yeah. But what I was going to say was, I still think it's powerful that Luke Wilson, Emmett, that was his name in the film. Emmett tries to give Elle.
You're looking at the wrong person on that.
Emmett tries to give Elle an inspirational speech and catches her right afterwards. And there's two important things that happen in that scene. One, Elle doesn't shy away from the fact that Callahan was totally creepy and inappropriate towards her. And she tells Emmett what happened. And I think that that's important because...
Which is also not an easy thing to do.
Exactly, because it's not an easy thing to do.
Emmett has been working with Callahan for a long period of time. And typically you would think that the guy would side with the other guy.
Exactly, especially because Callahan is also has more power than Emmett does. And Elle is just like, no, this is what happened. She tells him it's important because she's not ashamed of what happened. She's mad about what happened. Like, I think that that's super important that she just flat out tells him that that occurred. And I also think it's important that Emmett tries to give her an inspirational speech and it doesn't work. And it takes another woman to be...
Be like, hey,
you have the power to do this. Go back and get it done. It so easily could have been a film where a man gives her... Because we see this all the time in film where a guy is like, no, you can do it, honey. Like, you've got it. Like, I believe in you. And then they're like, okay, sure. So I think it's cool that literally all of the empowerment in this film comes from her female relationships.
I think also the fact that it comes from a woman in the profession that she is working in. Like, the idea of representation within a specific field. And while in this film is very much representing a white, relatively well-off and privileged experience. But, like, the idea of providing representation within a field, no matter what that field is extremely important. And it's, like, the reason why for black kids approaching the fifth grade, if they don't see a teacher who represents them by that point, the like likelihood that they're going to drop out of high school dramatically increases. Like, it's important to see people like you in professions and teaching roles within your experience. And I think the idea that that ultimately as you said that all ultimately comes from a woman who is a law professor and Very respected, very smart.
Yeah,
like, is a great point and, like, is a great wrap on that film. Like, that could have totally gone another way, but, like, whoever decided to write it that way, especially when that character hadn't been in the movie all that much, great moment.
Yeah, it almost, although I would have loved to have seen more of that character, the fact that there's a reveal at the end and it's her is almost better in that way because it's...
It was a nice reveal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was good that that was where that moment came from.
Yeah, like, you can imagine she saw her... She saw Elle grow over the course of the film and, like, that was her moment to shine because perhaps someone else had done that for her when she was studying law and it was her moment to realize that, like, hey, you need a certain camaraderie there. Like, it's the idea, this is a weird corollary, but in the NFL, there's black quarterbacks kind of created a support group for other black quarterbacks after they got out of the NFL because the NFL was so hostile to black quarterbacks. And so other black quarterbacks kind of created a support group to help incoming quarterbacks in that way. And it like... That idea of support and, like, camaraderie in that way is very powerful, especially when you are represented as a minority in that field and don't have the support sources most other people are going to have.
Yeah. I liked that Luke Wilson stood up for Elle in the courtroom and, like, put his own career... at risk. Like, he had a really great job with Callahan and he basically went against Callahan and said, Callahan was like, she can't represent like that, the client.
That moment where
and then he's like, no, her. I'm putting my money behind her instead of the guy who's going to get me far in my field and, like, puts, you know, his entire career at jeopardy and then doesn't, like, win the case for her, but basically just steps back and lets her win the case after that. I thought that was a nice moment.
Yeah, that was. And, like, it's these kind of moments that, in looking back on my watching experience of Legally Blonde, have definitely been like, hey, there's actually some really nice stuff about this film. And
there's maybe some it enjoyable even aged better moments. Than Mean Girls.
Oh, it aged way better than Mean Girls.
Yeah, I would. When did Mean Girls come out?
Around the same time, probably maybe a little bit later.
I think it was like 2004.
I would guess 2004 because the fashion was similar.
Yeah,
and the fashion was something.
There was some
always
fashion.
Wear pink on Wednesdays.
There was some. Oh, that was also Reese Witherspoon. No, it wasn't. Who was the main girl?
Lindsay Lohan.
Rachel McAdams.
It was
the other one.
No. I mean, the leader of the
or
clique.
Mean Girls.
Oh, the leader of the clique.
It was Rachel McAdams.
Yeah, how crazy is that?
Yeah, that is crazy.
She has come, like, clearly an
her
incredibly
and Reese Witherspoon, actually, yes. Both of them. But speaking of fashion, one of the things I appreciate about the last scene is that they do this thing where throughout the film, as she gets more serious about being a law student, her hair gets more and more straight and, like, less noticeable in a way. Like, yeah. She even pulls it back in a lot more scenes where it's just not part of her outfit.
Which I could go both ways on that. Let's hear what you were
going to say. But I think they do that to kind of build this, like, idea of, like, oh, she's being serious, so she's putting her hair back and making it less noticeable and less, like, blonde in a way. And in the final scene, she comes out with her hair, like, fully blown out, curly, like, just like it is in the opening scenes of the film. She's wearing a pink dress, which is still very professional.
And you're saying in the final scene in the courtroom. Not the graduation
thing. Yes, not the graduation thing. Yeah, yeah.
Like, she is full-blown herself.
She's full-blown herself, and she nails it as herself. And I think that's also super important because...
Yeah.
Even though she tried to conform earlier, it shows that in the end she was able to be very successful and still be herself. And
yeah,
I think
that's
also...
Yeah, like that idea of respectability politics and like how that... Like you do not need to conform to someone else's vision of what you need to be.
Of what a law student is to be a good lawyer. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that's also...
Yeah, that's really great.
It's such a great... It's a great piece on individuality, and yeah, I just
in
I 2001 really like this
fashion.
Film. Yeah, in 2001 fashion.
Which so good. There were some choices.
There were some like, what are they called? Like not golf hat. What was she wearing when she was on the quad? It was kind of like a ascot meets a golf hat. You know what I'm talking
that,
about?
That like
the pink thing that was sideways on her head.
Mm.
You know what I'm talking about?
A pink thing.
It was like a pink hat that looked like a golf hat.
It's not a
and an ascot. Mixed.
It's not just a golf.
It might have just been a skew golf hat.
What is that called?
I don't know.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay. Remember when she went to Harvard and she's sitting on the quad introducing herself to her peers for the first time and she meets the guy like, I have a PhD. I wrote my dissertation on this. I did...
Stephen Hawking stole his
yeah, exactly.
book from
remember
my
what, remember the Yes, exactly. The hat she was wearing in that scene. How do you describe that?
I didn't think
it
was the most noticeable thing about that scene.
I think it was.
That's the hat.
I don't know what you'd call that.
It's like
exactly.
It's definitely like a golfing hat. But I don't know what you would call that hat. I like...
Just Google styles of hats.
Oh, that's going to be a whole thing.
Styles of hats.
We'll check back in with you in like 10 minutes, okay?
Right. It's going to take that long, I'll be honest. Army hats, baseball caps.
What was your favorite fashion in the movie?
My favorite fashion.
Your favorite fashion.
I think I'm going to have to go with, it's a twofer.
Twofer, okay.
And the reason I say that is because it's when Elle has her...
It's a flat cap.
Okay.
That did not take me 10 minutes.
Wow, I'm impressed.
It's a flat cap.
It's Elle's first day of law school, and she wears the really nice, like, robe-style jacket with the tie and the pink shirt and the high boots
very
and the skirt.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
And her hair is up and she has the glasses and she just looks very much herself, but also like she's trying to put her best foot forward and be serious but she did it her own way. And the reason it's a twofer is because Bruiser is also wearing a collar and a tie.
Oh, I didn't notice that Bruiser was wearing a tie.
I didn't either.
Yeah, it's real good.
Oh, when I was looking up drinking rules for this film, another drinking rule was every time there's a costume change for Bruiser, which would have been a good rule as well.
Honestly, you could replace our just drink for Bruiser rule with that rule, and you drink a little bit less, but not that much less, because he has a lot of
outfits. He wears something different in every scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe we should say that.
He's a good dog.
He is. He's very calm. You know, he never like barks in the movie. He never jumps on anyone.
It's like a half bark. It's like a kind of growl bark.
Like a boof.
Yeah.
Okay. A boof.
Is that boof?
Yeah.
That's the official.
He had a couple of those. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He did it appropriately.
He was a very appropriate doggy.
He was.
Okay. What was your favorite fashion moment?
I think it was, for me, my favorite fashion moment might have been, what's his name, Wesley? The guy whose face we hated? It wasn't Wesley.
Frank?
Was it Frank?
Was it Frank?
Warner. I don't know.
Warner.
Warner. Warner was his last name.
Wow, you guys are... No, Warner was his first name.
Warner was his first name? What's his last name?
It was Warner...
Frank?
No. Warner I know Wesley. It ended with the third. I know it ended with the third.
All right, I'm going to play anyway, this up.
Anyway, it was when he had his hair slicked back. It just says Warner on IMDb. His hair slicked back. He wore a black button-up and a gray three-buttoned jacket. Oof. It was quite the look. Warner. And driving like a Corvette. Oof.
Yeah, I mean, they did a good job of making that guy, like...
Hateable. Hated his smile, hated his eyebrows, hated... Every time he was shocked, he would actually open his mouth, like... As wide as it goes.
So for those of you who can't see us, which is everyone, because this is a podcast, Andre just, that like, opened his mouth pretty wide. And, like, shook his head.
If we had, like, episode-specific artwork, that would be the image for this one. Yep, there you go.
That's the face he made when she got into law school. That's the face he made when she got into his...
I feel like we should turn
group. For those of you who can't
Can you get closer to the microphone and then make that noise again?
Yeah, wait. I'm going to get a quick video of this. Actually, you know what? I think this would be a good time for a boomerang. So we're just going to do that real quick. Okay, ready?
Okay, to the mic?
Yeah, up on the mic.
Okay.
1, 2, 3.
That's good. That was really good.
Okay, but okay.
We're not going to do the whole...
Oh, I don't know. That's pretty good.
No, get rid of it.
Oh, there's like barely any...
This is a great audio on that one.
I know.
You know how in Boomerang you have to do like 14 takes?
Can you do it one more time, but like, can you keep your mouth... Can you do the open and close so that like it actually does a Boomerang? Okay, ready?
This is really good for the podcast.
1, 2, 3. That was horrible.
I didn't buy it.
I'm done. I'm deleting this part of the podcast. Let's move on.
I did not buy it that time, Andre.
Let's go.
These are going up on Twitter, so you better not delete this part of the podcast. That way,
everyone will be very confused. This is garbage audio.
No, this is great.
You started it.
Just keep going.
This is great audio. My probably favorite fashion moment would be the swimsuit Reese Witherspoon is wearing when talking to her father, because the color of the swimsuit matches perfectly to the color of the pool. And I really just like dug that scene visually, because there was like an interesting contrast between the blue of the water and the red of the brick. And her red glasses.
Yes.
And her red. Yes. Like, it was well thought out in a way that other scenes didn't have that same aspect to.
She wears that same swimsuit 3 times.
Does she?
Yeah.
When's the other time?
She wears it, let me tell you.
Thank you.
Yeah, they're all in the video that she records as her Harvard admissions video.
Oh, is she wearing the same swimsuit?
She wears the same one, but she wears it in green and she wears it in pink.
She wears the pink one when she goes to Warner to watch Warner play football.
That's true. She wears it again in that scene.
Oh, yeah. But
she
like wears that swimsuit a lot. With like a faux fur jacket.
Yes. Yeah. Like I said, fur was very popular in this.
A look.
I saw a fur phone, a fur pencil, a fur jacket, a fur lined hood. I think there was more fur in this movie, but that's all I remember off the top of my head. Oh, she had a fur wrapped tissue box.
Yeah, she did.
Oh, yeah. There
was that, big. And they mentioned
single scene.
Yeah.
There was a lot of fur.
They mentioned that her, like, I don't know, senior service project was inventing a fur line of bikinis for charity or something.
It was faux fur panties.
Yeah.
Yeah, faux fur.
Yeah.
Yes, that was really great.
She loves faux fur.
So.
Well, she's a vegetarian. She also tells everyone she's a vegetarian.
Oh, is she?
Yeah.
It's a very brief moment,
I think. Yeah, very brief.
She mentions it.
You never see her eat.
She does bring.
Besides chocolate.
Besides chocolate and
a smoothie.
And I assume that's a smoothie.
What else could it be?
I assume it was coffee related.
Oh, okay.
I could see like a coffee.
But the vegetarian comment is not a passing comment. Like, it's actually really important to the second
film.
Yeah,
she's like, hi, I'm
it's very important to the second film.
All these setups to the second film.
It all pays off.
No, the second film is true to her character. Like, they really...
Oh, I'm not saying it's not.
I really feel like they made the second film because the Elle Woods character was so popular that they were like, we have to give the people more Elle Woods.
I just feel like the second film's not canon, just because it's not as good.
It's been so long. I assume it's not as good.
Speaking of not as good, there's something I want to talk about.
Oh, boy.
Is this
the moment? Who is the better Wilson?
Owen? Yeah, this is... I was going to build this out as a whole segment, but you just like quickly segued into it.
If we're going to do this, babe, we have to have some kind of like ranking criteria. Like,
Wait. Nose, before we get to this.
Okay.
This is the segment that I like to call Witch Wilson.
Okay.
It's pretty good.
Oh, that's good.
Okay, yeah, sure.
No, I did enjoy that.
We loved it, Ben.
Yes,
it was very
Aaron,
good.
Please.
It was very good.
No. I saw your face, Andre.
I was about to say I love this because it means we can come back to it the next time we watch a film with either Wilson in it. And Ben can be like, so guys, which Wilson?
It's pretty good. All right.
Yeah.
I think we
need to have some criteria. So I think nose is a good one.
Okay, I think
is this like question?
Is it likability? Is it accent? I don't know.
You gotta pick.
What makes a Wilson a Wilson?
Wait, before we determine these criteria, mm-hmm. I just want your gut check, and then because based off the criteria, it might change if that mm-hmm. makes sense.
Mm-hmm. My gut. After watching this movie, Luke Wilson.
Really?
When I was watching this movie, I thought Luke might be the better Wilson, and that's what inspired this whole piece.
Okay.
Liam. So yeah, my gut just says Luke.
Mine's Owen.
Yours okay. Owen. Do you have a reasoning?
Because he is a human representation of a Labrador Retriever.
Okay. Mm. All right, Ben. Which Wilson?
You know, this is actually a really tough one because I go back and forth. I know. I go back and forth. I'm gonna set up my answer before. But when I look at Owen Wilson, I've seen him in more movies,
uh-huh.
but whenever I see him act, mm-hmm. he's always acting the same character.
Mm-hmm.
He's basically the same guy over and over again.
Yeah. He's a Labrador Retriever. He only has so many tricks.
Yeah. Where when I see Luke Wilson, I see that he has the range. Mm-hmm. He's a little more... He's maybe a little more talented, but he's generic to a certain extent. Like. Yeah. He's still
what a curse. Talented, but generic.
He's still a Wilson, which says something, but he's a generic Wilson. So I think I ultimately have to go with Owen Wilson because, one, I've seen him in more films.
Okay.
And at least I know, like, Wilson is the Wilson everyone forgets about. You always remember
Owen
Wilson.
And you write parts for Owen Wilson.
Exactly.
That's true. That doesn't mean he's the better Wilson, though.
Yeah.
Let's go into criteria.
Like, I have a page of, like, pictures of Luke Wilson, and he has gone through some stages, first of all.
all right. Can we do nose, eyebrows, what else makes a Wilson a Wilson? Lovability?
Catchphrases?
Accent? I'm just thinking of Owen Wilson now.
I think resume also, like films.
You know what's great? I'm just looking at pictures of Owen Wilson now, uh-huh. and then oddly enough, there's Woody Harrelson, and then Tom Hiddleston, and then Matthew McConaughey.
That's really great. I think that's
and
a plus one.
And then Donald Trump.
That's a
well, he's got that Owen Wilson hair in that one. All right, we could let's talk about Wilsons and not about images.
That's an Owen Wilson? That's a weird old.
All right, so
this podcast has been far too visual.
Yeah, it is. I think we got to talk about.
Okay, noses.
Here's a Owen Wilson photoshopped into McCree from Overwatch.
Great,
that's a look.
Yeah, good audio there.
People can imagine that. All right, so what's our criteria? Nose. I like that is a defining Wilson feature.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have to give that one to Luke.
Luke?
What?
Why?
You are flat out wrong.
I mean, that one, I thought that was just
And these are the reasons why.
All right, tell me why. Why would you give that to Luke?
Really?
Owen has a one-of-a-kind nose.
Owen has, like, these, like, divots in his nose, in, like, the upper three-quarters of his nose that are so distinct that it is, like, the definition of the bridge of your nose. Because you have the structures on one end, you have the structures in other, and then there's the crossing in between.
Yeah, he, like, inspired one of the me noses.
One of the what?
The me, M-I-I.
Like, the designer was there looking through distinct noses.
We gotta have
He only found one, and it was Owen's. And he was like, gotta design this shit.
We need, like, anime nose. We need an Owen nose. We need to have...
He has a nose to his own.
Uh-huh. And why would you say Luke?
I don't know. I give up.
Okay.
Do you want to see photos?
No.
No, we don't need to do photos.
All
Alright,
we give the nose to Owen.
I think if we mention one more image, Andre's gonna walk out of this podcast.
Alright, can we talk about Luke's eyebrows?
Okay, Let me look at an image real quick.
All right.
Okay, you made a visual. I'm going to have to look at an image of Owen's eyebrows. No, I can't.
Here's Luke's eyebrows.
Okay, those are pretty good.
All right, so is the second criteria eyebrows?
Yeah, it is. All
right.
It's because I think Luke has it in the bag. Like, obviously, Owen is going to win the nose category, but I think Luke has eyebrows.
Owens are better groomed. I'm picking Owen.
Is it because, like, all right, Luke has more brown hair, and that defines...
That's true.
That defines his eyebrows more so than Owen.
They're very expressive.
So, like, the advantage is in Luke's court without a doubt.
And he works them. He works those eyebrows.
They're very low eyebrows. Like, you mentioned during the film that, like, he has very distinct eyebrows.
And when he's concerned, he has, like, a very distinct line.
Okay, you're talking about skin and not eyebrows now.
No, it's...
So you're cheating. All right.
Here's a photo of both their eyebrows.
You gotta give that one to Luke.
No, I'm giving it to Owen.
Okay.
I gotta say.
Ben, tiebreaker.
I gotta side with Andre.
Yeah. Luke, okay, so.
They're very distinct. Like, all right.
We're two.
All right, Leanna, you've been on the wrong side of history both times.
Let me
I've been on the wrong side of history.
Can I talk through Luke?
Both boys are tied.
Tell me about Luke's eyebrows.
I need to talk through Luke's eyebrows. These are, like, when people talk about, like, a Coke bottle figure, they're actually talking about Luke Wilson's eyebrows.
Mm.
Because that is the true definition of a Coke bottle figure, in that there is some definition to
the hourglass shape.
Yes.
Yeah.
Except it's like, flip that 90 degrees and you have Luke Wilson's eyebrows. Uh-huh.
Is that what you want out of eyebrows? Like, is that...
The
I think we have to move on to hair.
The thing here is, it's not necessarily what you want, but it's what you're gonna take.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those... People talk about riding a mustache... Luke Wilson has the eyebrows you can ride.
I don't know what that looks like.
But just go with me on this one. Okay. Those are distinct eyebrows. We're like, Owen Wilson, I'm going to say the most generic part of Owen Wilson is his eyebrows.
Okay. Right. We got to move on to hair.
Hair.
I got to give this one to Owen Wilson. He's got an Owen Wilson cut. Like, he defines a haircut.
Leanna, where are you
It's at? Always, it's the shag. Where Luke Wilson will just wear whatever the movie requires. Where Owen Wilson never has to get a haircut for a movie because he always
Luke has gone through some styles.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to have to
Owen defines a style.
Yeah.
Because regardless of role, he has the same hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I got to give it to my man Owen.
Okay. So Owen's now two out of three.
I know, and he's probably going to win this one too. Smile.
Ooh.
He's got a charming smile. A roguish...
He has this, like, pursed lip look.
Yeah.
That is, like, slight pucker.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very, like, surfer dude. It's perfect.
There's something sexy about it.
I'm gonna have to give that one to Owen
I'm giving that one to Owen, too.
I can't decide if that's his natural, like, look, or if that is something that he has developed over time because he was told it was sexy.
I think it's both. I think it started as a natural look, and he has perfected it.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm.
All right.
Because it doesn't look forced. It looks like it's just part of who he is.
Yeah.
Which makes me think it's something he always knew how to do, and he's just gotten better and better at it.
Yeah. Like, I'm looking at Luke Wilson's smile right now.
Uh-huh.
And it kind of looks like he's just like... A turd is just about to, like, pop out, and he's trying to hold it
in. He doesn't know what he's doing.
He's like,
Okay.
I'm going through this. I'm on the red carpet. Got to keep it in. Got to stay composed. This is my smile while I'm going through it.
Just have to get inside.
He does not have a natural smile.
No. Let's go with general likability.
I don't know much about either in terms of who they are as people.
Oh, but what about how you feel about their characters in movies?
Okay, well, like I said, Owen Wilson is a Labrador Retriever.
Okay.
So.
You're favoring... Question. Hmm. Who has the better middle name? We'll get back to that point, but I just want to, like...
Hit this me. Is gonna be I don't know one. What their middle names are. Hit me.
Both Cunningham. Who's got the better middle name?
I think it works better between Luke and Wilson than
Owen
and Wilson.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Luke on that one.
You're right. All right.
There's got to be a story behind that.
Okay, back so now to they're likability. Tied again. Now they're tied.
General likability.
This is going to be a big one, though. And separate likability from overall roles.
Wait, but does likability have to do with who they are in films or who they are as people?
Both. Should we go with charm then?
Because like I feel like you take a certain bit of your personality into a role, whether you like it or not. And there's a separate, but, and I feel like that is separate from just their character in films overall.
I think I'm going to have to go with Luke.
Mm-hmm. I think
because
so too.
My gut is that, at least based on the films he's in, he's a little bit more
there's a little
hapless.
More there. Oh, okay. Hapless. Interesting.
And well-intentioned. And, like, he's more of a soft boy. Whereas with Owen Wilson, he's more confident, he is more persistent, and he may be more of a... He may be more pushy in real life based on the roles that he's had. Like, he might have more confidence, and so he is more persistent, and that could be a bad thing, kind of.
Okay.
If you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So my gut is to go with Luke... For that reason. And this is me making conclusions based on no evidence. Right.
And here's my little to no evidence. I feel like Luke is generally just like a likable guy, where Owen Wilson constantly messes up, but you take him back because he didn't mean it. But in his next role, he's just going to mess it up again.
It's like a Labrador Retriever. Like he's just peeing on the carpet, but he's so damn cute that you're I'm going to keep you as a dog.
That's why I got to go Luke. Ben. He never learns.
Ben's just staring quietly at a very small photo of Luke Wilson on his computer.
It's like pretty charming, this right? was actually Luke Wilson throughout.
Yeah.
He would hands down be the winner here.
It looks like he's playing his tie like a trumpet.
But the thing is, he also looks
this
like he's
a
in
pretty
a
good
like
photo.
He's getting up out of a hospital bed, which like
he does.
Makes me question this
like
entire
he's,
scene
he's
that much
more.
He's
putting his suit on after like a week in the hospital.
Yeah. And I'm just like questioning this entire scene. But he also looks real good in this shot.
Can you save that photo and like tweet it out at some point?
Yeah,
like,
I can.
That's a pretty good photo.
It's a good photo. Like Owen has never looked like this.
That's true.
Ah.
That sly smile.
Likeability, I probably have to go with Owen Wilson. I'm going to want to hang out with Owen over Luke probably any day of the week. Like I
guess you know what you're getting.
And maybe this says something.
You probably have a fun time.
Maybe this says something about both of them. But Owen Wilson has a personal history section on Wikipedia. Luke Wilson does not.
Ooh. Okay. Oh. Okay.
Huh.
Okay, so where are we at? I feel like we're...
Owen has the lead, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. That's probably why he's in more movies.
Well, that's who I picked, so...
Do we call this... Is this it? Is this the moment where we say which Wilson?
Well, okay, the tally is at like 3-4.
I've lost count, I'll be honest.
Okay, well, I'll listen back and figure out what the tally is. We can revisit this at a later time.
Yeah.
We'll watch another film with one of the Wilsons in it, I'm sure.
And we can talk about which Wilson.
I think
Wilson.
We have to make a final judgment at this moment. Leanna, go.
I already said Owen.
Ben.
I gotta go Owen.
I'm leaning Luke.
Really?
Yeah.
What's that X factor?
I just watched a movie with him in it, and I liked him in it.
It's because he had long hair, and Andres always wanted long hair.
You were working on long hair there for a bit.
Yeah.
It's a tough one.
It is.
It's not easy.
It's not easy.
You gotta maintain it.
And it takes time.
It takes time.
You gotta deal with the haters.
There's always gonna be haters.
There's always gonna be haters.
You know what you say to the haters?
Haters gonna hate.
Fuck the haters.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That's the other thing people say.
Any other thoughts on Legally Blonde before we wrap this up?
Well, thanks for watching with me.
Happy birthday.
I had a great time.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed it.
Leanna, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Leanna,
happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
27 years old.
Late 20s look good on you.
No, it's mid-20s.
Mid-20s look good on
you. Yeah, still mid-20s.
Having lived through 27 for a couple months, 27 isn't easy.
Mm.
No.
Be
neither
prepared.
Was 26.
No. But I've heard like 27 is like a rough one. Like either decide you are continuing your life path at this point or you're going to make some changes.
Whoa.
I think I'm pretty set.
Yeah.
Or you die when you're 27 because a lot of
the fast die young
musicians die when they're 27.
Do they really?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Learn an instrument.
Didn't
this
Amy
year.
Winehouse die at 27?
I don't know. She was young though.
Mm. She was young. 20, like Elliot Smith. I think he died when he was 27. Kurt Cobain.
Was he that young?
Yeah, I think wow. so. All right.
Man.
I could also be talking complete bullshit right here.
Well, know. You know what? 26 was a good year. 27, you know.
Hopefully a better year.
Hopefully a better year. But like,
yeah,
it's,
a better year.
I love doing this podcast. I yeah. love doing this blog. Brings me life in an age when
there's not much.
There's not much.
I
it's just like death
love
out there.
Bread.
I love bread.
I eat bread every day.
This is the joy for me. No, but I want to give a shout out to all my friends in my MBA program. They've been support. Really helpful in a time like doing a part-time MBA while you're in school has been really hard. Mm-hmm. That's been and it's been you know my team last year, my team this year, they're very supportive. I'm very yeah. appreciative of them. My friends at work also who nice. Have been accepting of the fact that I'm in an MBA program and who
hopefully
have been checking in on
podcast.
Me.
Yeah,
if they really supported
some of
you,
them do. Some of them do.
They'll be listening
yeah.
to this podcast.
But also you two in particular, like picking up more of the cooking.
Oh,
and
weird.
Mm, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. Cooking.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of people to be thankful for in my 27 years, and dun, it's been good. Dun,
we're honestly dun, just excited dun. When you graduate and then
yeah.
the big bucks.
For and us. Then you can cook for us.
I'll sponsor the
yeah.
blog. I'll sponsor
there you
the
go.
Blog.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sponsor us. Okay, cool.
We're looking forward to that.
Because I'm making the big bucks.
You're making the big
bucks. That's what happens when you graduate, right? You just make the big
yeah,
bucks.
Yeah, as soon yes. as, like, that's like an automatic 25% increase to your salary.
Oh, my
it's
God.
Like, you didn't get that?
That's
on the,
it?
That's
I thought
like,
it'd be more.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm so sorry. Oh, I guess on that sour note. This has been another episode of the Munch Podcast. You can find our content and the photos for this post specifically, which I'm going to say, from what I've seen so far, I'm pretty proud of, at getmunchedup.com. You can find our Instagram at getmunchedup. Instagram is, or sorry, Twitter is at getmunchedup. You can find us on Facebook at munchblog or getmunchedup. Pinterest is also Get Munched Up, and we would actually love it if you sent us an email to getmunchedup@gmail.com. We would love to answer your questions. We have combined over 70 years of experience between us.
Wow.
So that's a ton of experience.
It's pretty impressive.
We are killing it in that category.
Just general experience.
Yeah, general
experience. Living. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Together.
Yeah.
We
9 years of experience doing this blog.
Yeah, together. Yeah. If you,
yeah.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
So we would love to answer your questions.
That is
anything
how it works.
You have. Really, anything. If you have live questions and you want to hear our thoughts, our comments, anything, we would love that. Also, please rate and subscribe to our podcast. That helps us out greatly. And we would love to hear your feedback. We're all always trying to improve and kind of develop this podcast more. So far, this podcast has been an opportunity for us to learn, and we would love to learn more and to improve this podcast. And with that, I think that's it.
Yeah.
Good day.
Good day.
Good day.